It's Marketplace Tech for August 24th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, organizations connected to the auto industry are showing up for the annual Autonomous Cars Conference in Detroit. Autonomous cars is, of course, a fancy way to say self-driving. Self-driving car makers still have a lot to solve, like how fast software needs to work to slam on the brakes or keeping it connected to the almighty cloud, but also car hacking. We've been talking about examples of car hacking this month. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein takes a look at the vehicle security conversation this week in Detroit.
When most of us talk about car safety, most of us think about things like seatbelts, snow tires, and drunk driving. Not Pete Sampson with the firm Security Innovation.
Theoretically, hackers can take over all control of the car. Can take control of the steering wheel, can take control of the brakes, can take control of the engine and shut it off.
If your vehicle's computer is networked to any other computer, your vehicle is vulnerable. Kathleen Fisher of Tufts University says automakers are beginning to recognize that now they must become software companies too.
It's going to take significant more investment in the software that is running the cars. It's going to take a culture of assuming that attackers are trying to break in and thinking in a defensive mindset.
Fisher says a bill moving through the Senate, the Spy Car Act, may force the industry to make necessary changes. If done right, she says that could make hacking so hard, attackers would look for easier marks. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
If you've watched the painful dismantling of Radio Shack in recent months, you have some sense of the stakes for an electronics retail big box store like Best Buy. The company's stock has been volatile. Tomorrow we'll get an earnings report. One thing the company has been trying in hopes of making money is putting out its own line of electronics, which, according to Stephen Baker at NPD Group, is kind of a tricky play.
The strength of where Best Buy's been the last couple of years has been how it has really been able to work in concert with major and second-tier kind of brands to really help drive their business by using the power of those brands, whether it's Samsung or Apple or Beats or Logitech. They've done a great job with all those things. And I think, you know, going too far in terms of having their own branding would kind of undermine some of that.
Stephen Baker, consumer technology analyst at NPD. Best Buy's move might also be tricky because consumer electronics isn't a huge growth market in the U.S. right now. We'll see how the company's doing tomorrow. Earlier this month, Twitter announced that it was making more of its data available. What data? All of its old tweets. Who is it for? Well, for brands. Most companies know that the data they collect on users or the data they can buy from other companies on their users will at some point be valuable. As a user, it can also be unclear what data we should let companies hold on to, which may be why John Herman, co-editor of The All, is talking about time as a privacy setting, as in deleting your old tweets. John, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Time is a privacy setting. Can you tell me more about what that means?
The services we use every day, that Facebook and Twitter, and they're very different from when we signed up. Facebook has always sort of taken this idea seriously. They don't really talk about it in these terms, but they've made it possible, for example, to conceal older posts from new friends because, you know, what does your college life have to do with your coworkers and so on. But other services have a slightly more rigid stance on these things. And so I've decided that it's something people should expect more widely, that people should understand time as a parameter that affects privacy and that they should be able to control.
This sounds somewhat wonky, but what you're talking about is literally going in and deleting tweets in this case, potentially.
Yeah. I mean, that's just because there's no way to do it officially. Over the last few years, I've had a lot of friends for different reasons decide to sort of clean up their social media histories. And in a lot of cases, that means deleting thousands and thousands of Twitter messages. I think the ability for users to make old posts private and to control privacy on things that they've posted years ago is something people would be interested in using.
I can totally relate to this idea as a user of like wanting to have some control over history. But I feel sort of uncomfortable generally talking about like revising history.
Twitter is this big, fascinating experiment in context. This isn't really about a fear of having said something horrible years ago that I've since learned was wrong. I think that's a terrible reason to delete your tweets. The real issue is that things I said in these previous contexts, I can't explain them anymore.
The context is gone.
Yeah. I mean, I had a friend bring up an old tweet recently that was totally innocuous. It was a joke about a horse race. I didn't remember making the joke. I didn't remember the horse's name that I referenced. And that just felt to me like a really odd way to represent myself. But you know what? I'm still using Twitter. I'm not quitting. I'm not like storming off. I'm just saying, you know what? I'm going to treat this like something that disappears behind me because that's the service I'd like to use.
John Herman is co-editor of The All. John, thank you for talking with me about this.
Thanks. I'll see you on Twitter.
We've posted John Herman's piece at facebook.com/marketplacetech. Read it before we up and delete it. And what is a vacuum and global engineering design firm? Well, in the case of AECOM, it's a company that is now part of an organization that says, yes, it is for real building Elon Musk's transportation tube technology pipe dream, the Hyperloop. Musk is working on one as well. The organization says it hopes to start building the thing in 2016. Color me skeptical. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.